You are listening to Are You Familiar With This? With Kush Bird. And this episode is about audiobooks with Guy Barnes. Let's head it.
The last 8-9 months, or I can say the whole 2020, has been rough and difficult for me. And I'm sure for many. But it's life, and thus too shall pass. But to grapple with this pandemic, I switched to audiobooks for most of my entertainment consumption. I am somewhat still in the exploration stage, as the audio world is vast and full of great stories. So why don't we jump in straight to the pro? It's the first episode of Are You Familiar With This? And with me, joining Guy Barnes, a versatile singer, actor and audiobook narrator, and lot more. Guy, welcome and thanks for hopping in. And why don't you give a bit of intro?
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much indeed for having me. You pretty much just said it all right there. at this particular point in time, I've just finished a brand new audiobook, and I'm in the middle of recording a new record as well.
All right, cool, great. So, Guy, where are you recording from?
I'm in not so sunny Portugal, because it's the heavens have opened, quite frankly. But I live in a village called Monchique that's right up in the mountains in Portugal, so it's a beautiful place.
Oh, great! So are you originally from Portugal?
No, I'm English. Originally from Brighton, which is down on the south coast.
For you, what's the audiobooks? Is it just a narrating a story or just a business? What's your take on it?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I got into the whole audiobook narration job by complete accident. I'd just come off of an independent feature film that I was doing. And a friend of mine that was the director was also an author. And the voice that I happened to have been using whilst doing this particular film, that I was playing a very harsh character, to say the least. I put on a very psychotic kind of voice, and he'd just written a book which needed that kind of vocal, he thought, for the narration. So he came to me and said, had I ever done any kind of audiobook narration before? And at that particular point in time, I hadn't, but I'm a great one just putting myself in the deep end. So I said, well, look, give me a chance here. Give me the book. I'll see if I can do it, if you like it. Then we'll go forward. And I just fell in love with the whole process. It was that simple, really. But I've always been an avid reader. I'm a great one for stories. Even when I write songs, I'm very much a storyteller, songwriter. So it was just, I guess it was kind of like the next step, really.
Awesome story. When did you get into this?
Only 3 years ago. It's not been long. So it's still very much a learning process for me, you know.
It's too early, I think.
It's strange because I've been doing well. I've been asked by companies like Lukeman Literary, who are a well-known company in New York, to narrate such books as Bram Stoker's Dracula and H.G. Wells' Time Machine. So I'm obviously doing something right. But it is a learning process, you know. Mm. Everything from the actual narration to the editing to learning how to put a story across as a narrator. Mm. It's not the same as how you'd read a book in your head, because obviously you have to put characters to these you know, you have to appeal to other people's imagination, not just your own. And so there's a real there's a real knack to it.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. So what's your work breakdown these days? As I know, you are working on your upcoming audiobooks and single songs. How's the work going on these days, like pandemic time?
Well, I hate to say it, but believe it or not, the pandemic, as far as being an audiobook narrator is concerned, I think has probably given your average narrator more work, because you know, people want something to do. And audiobooks have definitely become a very popular medium. And, you know, when people aren't able to get to work, or, you know, it's just a much harder time for a lot of people. And I think that everybody wants to be able to escape from the realities of what's going on at the moment. And what better way to do it than with audiobooks, you know?
Yeah, great. How do you prepare for one book? Like how much time goes into this stuff? Like you narrate for man, woman, and other accents also. You need a special time, like 1 month, 2 months prior to shooting?
No, not really. It's working with the author. This is at least the process that I've learned is the best way of doing it, because you know, the end of the day, the person who wrote the story, it's just as much their imagination and their baby as it is yours. And the preparation process really for me is being able to talk as much as I can to the author, to how they envision everything from the characters to the actual narration itself, how they want the book put across. And of course I do a lot of fantasy books, and because of that, of course, you tend to end up with a lot of strange character names and strange character places. So of course you want to know how they're pronounced. I did a book recently by a brilliant author called Brian Keith McPherson called Ringstraked, and I'm doing the book series for him. But the first book, The Ruin of the Giant King, had over 124 characters, had all sorts of weird different name places. So he spent an awful lot of time writing down the names as phonetically as possible for me to be able to understand how they are pronounced, and gave me a whole list of the characters and their backstories, even if the backstories weren't even written in the book, just to give me an idea of who these people were. So I could then get into these characters' heads and figure out myself how they would sound. And then really it was between me and the author. You know, I would send him snippets of the voices of the certain characters and say, well, this is how I envision how this guy would sound. What about you? And between the two of us, we were just able to tick the boxes, and then I was able to narrate the book.
Yeah, great. That's a great process. Well, how about the tech part, like technological, like engineering audiobook?
Well, I come from an engineering background. I was very lucky because for the past 30 years, I've been in, as I said, in the music industry. And the vocal recording process, although the mastering of the narrated vocal is entirely different from recording and mastering sung vocals. Obviously, because I've had you know, years and years and years in recording engineering, the recording process to me is a piece of cake. It's not difficult, you know. It's more to do with the, you know, when I first moved to Portugal, I didn't have any recording equipment here whatsoever. So I literally bought myself a laptop, a decent microphone and an audio interface. And after that, for me, it was mostly about the room. And making sure that I was recording in a dead enough space so that there was no air, there was no movement as far as the vocal was concerned, and I was just giving clean recordings.
Yeah. So, do you have your own studio?
I do. Yes, I do, and I'm building a new one as well.
Oh, great.
So, yes, I'm very lucky. I don't just have a vocal booth, which I know a lot of narrators have. I have a 24-channel analog mixing console. You know, which is what I record through. So all of the vocals that I do for the narrations that I specifically do are all recorded in analog, which, you know, of course, analog is an awful lot warmer than digital. It always will be. So to be able to record in analog is wonderful.
Yeah, it's cool. So you have done a fictional fantasy, then adventure genre. So do you think you have a niche in them, or you just like to play it?
I'm really figuring that out as I go along. To me, it's just all about the story. I don't really care whether it's you know, fantasy, science fiction, fantasy, horror. What I've done biographies too. You know, I think in any form of life, you have to be able to really be passionate about what you're doing in order to be able to put to be able to put, you know, to express what it is that you're trying to express. So as far as audiobook narration is concerned, to me, it's always going to be about the story. First and foremost, I don't care what genre it is. If the story gets to me, then I'm going to want to narrate it.
How about erotic or romantic? Would you turn down or you'll do that?
No, more than happy. No, absolutely. I don't see why, you know, I've never been one to veer away from anything. I can't say that I've done any kind of erotica at this particular point in time. But once again, if the story's there, you know, if someone turned around to me and said, Guy, can you narrate Lady Chatterley's Lover? I would do it in a heartbeat because it's a beautiful story. So, I wouldn't narrate erotica for just for the sake of erotica if it was just typical gratuitous rubbish, but if it's got a wonderful story, then yeah, why not?
Great. Then any genre you wouldn't do, or you know, you'll just turn down?
I wouldn't do anything with probably with a heavy religious aspect, for the simple fact that I'm not what you would consider a very religious person. And I think that you have to believe, I think you have to have a lot of belief in anything like that, you know, in order to be able to really put it across. I'm very spiritual, but I've always been under the greatest belief of all that most religions are the reasons that war and famine and murder, are occurred in the name of religion. So I don't really think I'd be the right person for that kind of genre. But anything else, I think, is pretty much on the cards. Yeah.
Let's talk about business prospects. So is it a quick buck business for the artist? You know, I'm asking this question because I read the pools of unemployed artists, like audio engineer, theater guys are moving in this space, like globally.
Mm-hmm. Well, hell, let's put it this way. You can do it if you just want a quick buck. Preferably, I don't think that's the way to go about anything in life. I think that if you do something because you're passionate about it, then, you know, the money will come no matter what the situation is. It's about the consistency. But I think, like the music industry, there's an awful lot of noise out there. And there's an awful lot of crap out there that people unfortunately can listen to that haven't been put together well. And I think that this is the problem with anything. But at the same time, you get what you pay for. And I think when you go through companies like Audible, you're going to get something that has been narrated and has been edited and engineered by someone who does it specifically because they're an expert at it. And I don't think that you can be an expert at anything unless you have a love for what you do. So, I think it's that simple, really. So sorry to answer your question. You know, if people want to do it for a quick buck, yes, I'm sure they can do. But I personally myself, you know, I won't do this just for the money. I've got to believe in the story, and I've got to believe in what it is that I'm doing first and foremost.
Totally, totally agreed. So you don't see any competition?
Oh, no, I'm sure that there's a lot of competition to a certain extent, but I personally don't think there is. I think there's room in this business for anybody, because it's such a wide genre. You know, let's be honest with you, you know, audiobooks come in all different shapes and sizes from all sorts of different, different genres, whether it be, you know, everything from business to spirituality to horror to fiction to nonfiction to, you know, and some people are better at it than others. That's just the case. The same way that a jazz singer isn't necessarily going to be the greatest rock singer in the world, or, you know, a classical musician isn't necessarily going to be Eddie Van Halen. You know, in this world, you know, some people are going to narrate books better than others. So I don't think that, in my view, there shouldn't be competition. You know, if you want to be able to set yourself up as an audiobook narrator and you have a love of reading and you have a love of stories and you think that you can do it, then do it, you know?
Yeah, agreed. And fair enough. Yeah. Guy, can you narrate now?
Okay, so I can give you a little clip of the book which will be released imminently, which is the last book I did. Called The Shaper Chronicles, that was actually written by a great guy who's actually a captain in the US Marines, of all things, called Ethan Westhoff. And once again, I'm going to be narrating the series of books, which are called the Shaper Chronicles for him. And this is from the first chapter.
The evening could have been called peaceful if not for the threat of danger approaching the pair. Sid had taken up a flute and was playing a simple melody that drifted on the breeze, a melody that reached the group of bandits who had taken up an ambush spot not far from the two men's camp. As the flute tune carried, Sid played with one eye open, sitting on a fallen log. Bjorn sat cross-legged close to the fire. It was Sid who noticed the figures in the woods shifting around their camp. He saw the telltale glint of steel reflecting the firelight, the slight disruption of shadows in the night that revealed men who thought they were stealthy. He winked at his friend and continued to play while he stood up, allowing for a quick draw of his rapier should the need arise. Accustomed to the strange man's antics, Bjorn recognized the preparation for danger. Bjorn began to stand up as well, easing a large greatsword free from the sheath on his back. Thinking they had ambushed the two travelers, the five bandits burst forth from the tree line and attacked. Two of the men came charging at Sid, one with a wood axe and the other with a large, unwieldy sledgehammer. The other three peeled off towards Bjorn, all with smaller axes in both hands. Sid braced his feet, raised his sword, and laughed maniacally as one of the brutes swung down heavily with his axe. Sidestepping to the left, with a quick thrust, he slipped the slender sword into the man's throat. He flicked it to the side and tore a large gash in the neck. Sid felt the blade feast on his opponent's lifeblood, urging him to continue his dance of death. A genderless voice only Sid could hear said, "Another one dead. How many have we killed?" The mortally wounded bandit immediately clutched his throat, trying desperately to cover the grisly wound. Sid pirouetted around his collapsed foe as the second enemy attempted to knock his head off with a wild horizontal swing of his crude hammer. Avoiding the hit, he brought his sword up and around the wild swing, guiding the blow into the already collapsing bandit, knocking the poor fellow to his knees as the last gasp of air escaped him. Sid chuckled. The dance was dangerous, but exhilarating. He replied to the empty knight,
"One more, certainly."
Swinging back to square with his remaining opponent, Sid feinted low, forcing the man to off-balance himself with a wild block. Then, with a strong thrust, Sid ran the blade through the bandit's heart. Retracting the sword swiftly, he stepped gracefully out of the way of the dying man's futile swings. Bjorn had chosen to charge at the three heading his way. Meeting the one furthest to the right, he halted abruptly and swung his sword in an upward arc with both hands on the handle as his opponent flailed with an undisciplined strike at the giant man. As the sword lifted up, catching the axe and bringing it high, Bjorn reversed the momentum of the blade, interposing it between him and the other two as he shoulder-checked the man in front of him with his heavily armored body. Stunning the man and knocking him over, he continued to step forward, driving his left heel into the fallen man's face as he pushed off. With the crunch of the skull cracking, he propelled himself forward, thrusting his blade past the second opponent's futile guard and driving his sword through his midsection. He quickly retracted the blade and brought the weapon to bear on his final opponent. Stunned by the impressive display of speed for such a large man, the remaining bandit turned on his heels and tried to escape. With a roar, Bjorn dropped his weight and leapt forward with a powerful lunge. His blade burst through the man's chest, and the monster of a warrior ripped it horizontally, cleaving the retreated bandit almost in half. As the blaze of the campfire moved in the wind, Sid searched the vicinity of the campsite for any more brigands. Finishing his scan of the immediate surroundings, all he saw was his traveling companion wielding his weapon as swiftly as Sid swung his smaller sword. Hefting the blade over his shoulder with three foes strewn about him, Bjorn whipped his head around and growled at Sid.
"You half-mad little bastard! I actually thought you intended to relax with a bit of music. There's been talk of bandits, and you knew it! You think it funny to play your little trick on a friend who looks out for you, even when you don't return the favour. Your particular fascination for the prank goes too far."
Sid interrupted, chuckling, a bit of his madness slipping into his voice.
I sure did, Mr. Bjorn. It was a good time, though, yeah? Stabbing and slashing about. Joyous fun. This sure wouldn't have come out if I didn't. We wanted to speed up the process. I warned you with a look, if you remember. Hells, man. You fight better with your blood up. You might have thought to capture them elsewise, and then we'd be babysitting nasties all the way back.
Fantastic. So is it a fictional or adventurous?
Oh, it's a fantasy book. It's fantasy. So, but it's wonderful. It's about a fictional place called the Messaconian Empire and a little town, well, a city called Fallwood. And it's a typical fight against good and evil. Against the dead and the undead, actually. But it's a wonderful... the characters are just marvelous.
So yesterday, I watched Social Dilemma on Netflix. Have you watched it?
No, I haven't.
So it was quite, disturbing. And what awakening moments was our attention and, retention ratios. So I read one report a few days back that 75% of all on-screen content being viewed for less than 1 minute. But in here, audiobooks create a whole different world where you can live for 10, 20, 30 hours, without any hesitation, because you are living in another world, which is created by author and narrated by, narrators like you. So it's a very fascinating stuff. And you can't just scroll for 10 minutes and you are listening to 20, 30 hours of content, of stories. Fascinating.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up and watch it. Sounds great.
Yeah, it's great. Do watch it.
I will.
So when you are not doing narration, what do you do?
Well, I'm kind of semi-retired now, which is a very nice position to be in, which is half the reason I moved to Portugal in the first place. But as I said, I come from a music background. I'm a published songwriter, and I was a singer for an awful lot of time. So, of course, that was my first love and will always be. And my publishing company came to me about 3 months ago and said, look, during this lockdown period, nobody can get out and gig. Nobody's in a situation where they can really do anything. How do you fancy putting out an album? And I've as a songwriter, I've been in licensing and sync for years and years and years. I mean, I haven't actually released anything for a very, very long time. But and to start with, I said, no, I don't see the point, quite frankly. There's no way of being able to go out there and gig it. I can't market it. You can't really do much. And to be completely honest with you, in this day and age as a songwriter, the music industry is kind of dying a death and nobody's really making money out of publishing anymore. But at the same time, I thought, well, hold on a second here. What else am I doing outside of narrating audiobooks? I'm not really doing an awful lot. So I thought, why the hell not? So I've been sat at the piano or with a guitar on my lap, writing a whole bunch of new material and also looking back over 30 years of my back catalogue to see if there's anything out there which I can also use, which I think is good enough and kind of like rework some songs as well. So that's what I'm doing right now. And the album's going to be called Child of Yesterday, and it's going to be out probably around about March, April next year.
Great. Awesome. So are you listening to any audiobooks right now, like currently?
No. I find it, to be completely honest with you, I find it very hard to listen to audiobooks whilst I'm in the middle of kind of like the process of narration. And I'm setting up a bunch of other audiobooks at the moment, which I'm going to start narrating quite soon. And I have to kind of keep my head in the story of what it is that I'm narrating or what it is I'm concentrating on. If I start getting caught up in other characters it takes it away. I stop being able to concentrate. Funnily enough, I can read, but I find it very hard to be able to narrate when I'm listening to other audiobooks. I don't know if other narrators feel the same way, but I certainly do.
So that's your mentality and process
Yeah, it's the same when I'm having to write music. I mean, if I'm given a brief by a publishing company or a production company to write country music, and I have to write five or six country songs, I personally can't listen to other types of music because otherwise I start getting influenced by that particular genre. So it's having to put on a certain hat and just keeping it on for that particular period of time, you know.
Any audiobooks recommendation for first time explorer?
No, if I'm honest with you, just listen to what listen. No, and I'm being honest. Listen to what you love. It's that simple. Whatever it is that you read, I would recommend that you go to Audible and you look up the books that you love. You know, but at the same time, you know, maybe go outside of your what you would consider your safety zone for a while. I mean, I got into classical, you know, into classical literature and ended up with a massive love of classical literature by reading Jane Eyre when I first got a Kindle and thought, well, you know, I'm reading so much Stephen King and fantasy and all the rest of it. I want to try something else. And so I picked up, you know, I picked up on the Brontes and I grabbed hold of Jane Eyre and it became one of my most favorite books of all time. So, I think that's the beauty of audiobooks is there's so much for you to be able to explore. You know, but pick what you love. I don't know what else to say, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm streaming right now, Never Read by Neil Gaiman. So it's my second exploration of Neil Gaiman's world, not right. After Sandman. So I started Sandman during this lockdown only.
Right,
it was great. Yeah, it was full audio drama. Great.
Yeah, well, Neil Gaiman's rather good, isn't he? He's a brilliant author. So you know, it's amazing how many authors out there narrate their own works as well. I don't know if Neil Gaiman does or not. I haven't heard any of his audiobooks, but I know Stephen King certainly does.
Yeah. So do you difference between audiobooks and audio drama?
Do I know the difference between audiobooks and audio drama? To be honest with you, that's not something I've had much experience with. Weirdly enough, I have actually voiced some audio dramas. But I guess the difference between the two of them is from what I can gather, is that audio dramas tend to have a narrator and then a whole bunch of voice actors playing the different parts, whereas narrating audiobooks, it's just that one person doing the narration and having to voice all the characters themselves.
Then audio drama would be, I think, easy task than this.
Oh, well, I certainly found it because, of course, audio drama is pretty much just, it's like a radio play. You know, it's which of course is exactly what they used to do back in the old days. It was a bunch of character actors standing around a microphone along with a narrator. And they used to, you know, play out these parts and play out these stories, you know, for radio. So I think audio dramas are pretty much the, you know, just a modern take on that, really.
Yeah. And Guy, I heard your new track, Child of Yesterday. It's cool. A dope, superb. Yeah, I really like that.
thank you very much. Yeah, it's the title track of the new record. And if you go to my website, can I mention my website?
Yep, sure. Why not?
Yeah, okay. If you go to www.allthings/rider.com, then you'll hear all sorts of different music. But Child of Yesterday is on there along with a whole bunch of other tracks.
Yeah, so as far as I feel that it's a song of nature, pandemic, and civil unrest. Am I correct?
Yeah, it's just a shout to you know, better days past and hopefully better days yet to come. It's kind of that simple, you know. It's a bit of a self-biography too, but, you know, I suppose a lot of songs are.
So apart from songs writing, you have your own radio show. What's that name?
I work alongside a radio company called Carvero Radio that's owned by a lovely fella called Craig Timmis. And I do a radio show on Carvero Radio, which is called Carvero Rocks, although I'm not going to be doing that again until roughly around about middle of January next year. because I've had to take a break to do other things. But yes, I was doing a radio show for Carvawero Radio. Yes, which is a Carvawero, by the way, is a town, little beautiful, beautiful little seaside town in Portugal.
And apart from this radio show, you have your own vlog, right?
Yes, it's once again, it's something that I have started to do. It's in very, very early stages, but I have a massive love of motorcycles. And have done literally since I was 3 years old. Always loved motorcycles, and when I was a young boy, I rode scramblers and did motocross and all sorts of stuff, and you know, did the usual, try to jump over anything I could jump over, and you know, crashed more times than I probably stayed on the thing. But these days, I have two motorcycles. I have a 2006 Harley Davidson Softail Deluxe, which is the motorcycle I rode all the way down from Brighton, all the way through France and Spain and into Portugal. I wasn't going to stay in Portugal. That was the strange thing. I came down to Portugal because my wonderful sister has an apartment down in Carvawero, and I was going to stay there for a couple of weeks, hang out, and then I was going to head off east, down through the Spanish and French coasts into Italy, to Amalfi, and then through to Croatia. And I was going to sort of like try and head up as far as I could, and keep on heading up north to end up in the Llewellyn Mountains, the Wallachian Mountains, and Transylvania and Romania, simply because I'd narrated Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah.
And I was very interested in that part of the world because of that book. But of course, the lockdown happened, in sort of like the middle of March, and I was stuck there. And so I fell in love with the Algarve, and I've been here ever since.
Great. Then we should do the separate episode for that, travel over the heart.
Yeah, more. You know, I use I've got this GoPro Max, and I just stick it on the handlebars of the Harley or my other bike, which is a Yamaha Dragstar Classic, and just go riding off around the Algarve and make little videos of my travels. But I haven't done many of them yet, to be honest with you. As I said, it's a new thing. But I have an Instagram. Well, I've got three Instagrams, actually. I have one for my narrating, one for my the vlog stuff, vlog stuff. I always call it vlog for some reason, and one for the music. So, but the motor vlog one is just look up Monchique Rider and you'll find some stuff.
Yeah, it's quite interesting stuff, you know, quite interesting hobby.
Yeah, well, it keeps me busy. You know, as I said, I'm kind of semi-retired now, so I've got time to be able to, you know, do the things that I love. Which I'm an incredibly blessed position to be in, and I love motorcycles. So I thought, well, why not share a little bit of that?
Yeah. I saw your post on Facebook. Yeah, with Harley Davidson.
Yes, it's a nice bike. Yes, it's that very Mayans Mexican cholo gangster look to it, but it's a great bike.
Yes. So you also have worked in a few indie movies, right? Like Typo. Yeah, yeah. So how was your experience with that?
Yeah, I'm not sure when Typo's coming out. We finished that quite a while back. But I think that's the thing with independent movies. Unlike, the big Hollywood budget stuff where you've got hundreds upon hundreds of people all working at it at the same time. In independent films, you've got a lot of people who are dedicated to the craft of making the films just as good as the ones you see in Hollywood. But of course, they take an awful lot longer during post-production, specifically because you have maybe one or two people doing the same job that 50 normally do, trying to put it together. So, yeah. But it's a wonderful film. So yes, you can, the trailer's out on YouTube, actually. If you look up Typo Movie, the trailers.
Yeah. So can you relate with your narration, this whole acting experience? Like, then it should be easy for you to narrate any stories, as you are, you know, actor.
Yeah, well, I considered myself very much a character actor, more than anything else. And the type of roles that I tended to play were very dark, mixed up individuals of a sort. Which are much more fun to play. I mean, playing the anti-hero is much more fun than playing the hero. It just is. You can get your teeth into a complete nutcase. You know, at least I feel that you can anyway. who, you know, so yeah, it's more fun. It's definitely more fun.
Yeah. So any upcoming projects, like you mentioned, upcoming few audiobooks. So can you give a bit of that?
I've got a couple coming up, but I'm not allowed to say what they are. That's the trouble. You know, it's really strange because when you work for companies like ACX, it's fine. You know, you can sit in your booth and do little videos to show what you're narrating. But some companies don't like you to do that, you know, because they're worried, especially if you're narrating classical literature. Because, of course, there are so many companies that narrate classical literature that they're worried that another company will latch onto it and try and do it themselves. And so it becomes quite hush hush and secretive, which is kind of the situation I'm in right now. So, I can't. I'm going to be working on a new TV pilot next year for a company in Portugal, which I'm sure that I can mention, which is it's going to be kind of like what can I say? It's going to be kind of like a Benidorm of the Algarve. I suppose that's probably the easiest way of describing it, like a comedy drama based on Algarve expats. So that's being worked on at the moment, and I'm going to be playing a musical has been pop star who now runs a bar and gets himself into all sorts of trouble. So that sounds like something that could be quite good fun. And there's a couple of films that we're hopefully going to start working on next year as well.
Yeah, great. After this pandemic ends.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. When it does, which of course we're all scratching our heads right now trying to figure that one out, but. You know, it is lovely to see people being creative at this particular point in time. You know, I think everybody's trying their damnedest to get back to some version of normality, no matter what it is. And I think that's definitely the right way to go.
Yeah, yeah. So we are approaching the end. Let's end with your song. Any favorite track?
Oh, yes, of course you want me to pick up a guitar and play something, don't you? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to play something incredibly simple that I actually wrote years and years and years and years ago for a friend of mine's wedding. So it's the actual chord shapes themselves are based around the typical wedding song that everybody walks down the aisle to, as it were. It's got that typical la 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 kind of feel to it. But it's called Where You Belong. And yes, I wrote it for a friend's wedding, and it goes a little bit like this. Down over your shoulders and slowly walk towards me. Hold your arms out, reach your heart out and wrap them both around me. That's all I ever want from you. They're all the things that I hold true. I'll be your lover in the night, kiss with glowing candlelight, and I will sing you a love song. I'll be your savior in the day, so all your troubles fade away. Then you'll know it's right here where you belong. Now and then, babe, say you love me. That's all you ever have to say. Hold me closely when I'm sleeping. Please don't ever walk away. My answer I ever need from you. They're all the things that I hold true. I'll be your lover in the night, kiss with glowing candlelight, and I will sing you a love song. I'll be your savior in the day, so all your troubles fade away. Then you'll know it's right here where you belong. Then you'll know it's right here where you belong.
Oh, great, 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 man. The fantastic, fantastic track. It's a wedding song, right?
Yeah, it was. Yes, I recorded. Yeah, I wrote that for a friend's wedding. I had to have been, 22, 23 years old? I'm coming up to 50 now, so I don't even know how many years ago that was. Yeah. I've played that thousands of times. If I'm completely honest with you, when I was a kid, that song used to get me girls like nobody's business. That was kind of my dating song, my way of trying to impress a girl, play that song to her and say, hey, I wrote this for you, baby.
So I think you are Elvis Presley fan, right?
Oh, I love Elvis. He was my first ever, my first love as a kid, without a shadow of a doubt. Always adored Elvis. So
that's your inspiration for singing?
Yeah. I think the first time I ever saw Elvis, I can still remember. And I was about 3.5, 4 years old, turned on the television, and it was a scene from a film called Fun in Acapulco. And he was singing Bossa Nova, Baby. And I just saw this guy and thought, wow, I want to do that. And I got given my first guitar not long after. So, you know, my beautiful parents, may they rest in peace, were very supportive of me learning guitar, which was great.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I felt one thing, that your singing and narration voice is completely different.
Yeah, well, I think to a certain extent it kind of has to be, you know. But I mean, the voices that I put on when I'm narrating characters, you know, can go anything from this kind of stuff all the way to this and back forward. So it kind of really just depends on who I'm narrating, what it is that I'm doing, you know. And I think that's the thing that I love the most about narration is finding voices and finding different ways of putting a character across, you know.
Yeah, so have you worked on that, or it's just a natural?
When I was a kid, I used to make people laugh by making silly little voices and you know, doing different characters and stuff. I think that's why I got into acting as well. It's just fun and it's stupid, you know. And I think one of the greatest things about narrating characters is, you know, as long as it fits with the story, you can make them as stupid as you want, especially if you're doing children's characters. I did a book called The Diamond Ship by a great author called Adrian Beckingham. And I had to narrate the whole book as a pirate, which kind of ruined my voice for 2 weeks afterwards, you know, spending your life having a talk like this, you know. You know, and doing that the whole way through a book. But it was great fun. You know, it was really, really good fun to do. So that's fun. You know, it's just fun. You know, you sit there scratching your head half the time going, what a crazy way to make a living. But it's fun.
Yeah, that's only matters for artists, whether you are making a song or audiobooks, whatever.
Yeah, you know, it's about the creative process, and to me, that's the beauty of doing anything, you know, as far as I'm concerned. I think if you're able to create something and put it out there into the universe, to me, you've built on something that's positive. And I don't care how you go about doing that, You know, if you're putting out love, light, and positivity into the world, and you're helping people escape from what at this particular point in time is the harsh realities of most of our lives, then you're doing something good.
Yeah, absolutely. Agreed. Totally agreed. So, Guy, great. This has been a great episode. And thank you, Guy, for sharing this fascinating stuff with us. And all the best for your upcoming projects.
Thank you, sir. It's been lovely talking to you, and it's very kind of you to have invited me.
So, Guy, where can people find you or ping you?
Right. Okay. Well, the easiest, if you're an audiobook fan, the easiest thing to do is just look up my name, Guy Barnes. Go to Audible and look up Guy Barnes. You'll find all the audiobooks I've narrated at this particular point in time. But outside of that, yes, if you go to allthings/rider.com, you'll find everything else.
Yeah, great. Simple is good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whoa, what the? Thank you for joining in. And is it your first time? Then thanks for coming along. And do subscribe to this podcast on your favorite app so you won't miss another episode of Are You Familiar With This? Stay tuned until next time.